now plugged in to the Delphi podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Delphi podcast. I'm Tom Shaughnessy, and I help lead Delphi Ventures, as well as host some of the most in-the-weeds and thought-provoking guests across crypto, spanning layer ones to DeFi, NFTs, and beyond. The goal is to have fun, but also to dive deep and offer foundational episodes on projects and founders. Also, check out our research on Delphi Digital or miss out on the most compelling research there is. It's up to you. As a reminder, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. Delphi Ventures may hold tokens mentioned, so check out our transparency page in the show notes for more info. With that, let's dive in. See you guys on the other side. Before we jump in, we'd like to thank our sponsors for making this episode possible.
There are several projects building inter-blockchain communication protocols, but there's one that's currently built. Cosmos.network is on a mission to link every blockchain. Well-known projects like Terra, Band, Kava, and Secret use Cosmos and the Cosmos Hub to connect to every other chain in their network. The Cosmos Hub is completed and launched, and you can visit Cosmos.network today to check it out. The Cosmos Hub brings us that much closer to Web 3.0, and we thank the Cosmos community for sponsoring the Delphi podcast.
Kava is a cross-chain DeFi platform that gives you the ability to earn more by connecting the world's largest cryptocurrencies, ecosystems, and financial applications in one safe and seamless integration. We're excited for the upcoming launch of the Swap Protocol, a cross-chain AMM liquidity hub bridging DeFi, blockchains, and financial services to swap the world's largest assets and maximize yields across your entire portfolio. Swap will join the Kava Protocol and Hart Protocol as the next application built on the Kava platform. Celo is a mobile-first platform that makes financial dApps and crypto payments accessible to anyone with a mobile phone, providing the opportunity to positively impact the users of 6 billion smartphones in circulation today. Celo's eco-friendly proof-of-stake consensus mechanism and ultra-mobile light client makes up to 17,000 times faster than other blockchains and accessible to mobile phone users around the world. Visit Celo.org to learn more. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Tom Shaughnessy. I help run Delphi Ventures, and I'm one of the co-hosts of the podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to have on Emil of XDeFi. Full disclosure, before we get started, we are investors in XDeFi. Emil, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
For those watching the video, we're using Zoom's immersive background, and it's a little trippy and it's a little cool. I'm not sure yet.
That's pretty cool.
So Emil, tell us a bit about yourself, man. How'd you get started in crypto?
Yeah, for sure. So I started working in TradFi as an equity analyst in a fund. And I remember back in the days, a friend of mine, a dev, reached out to me. It must have been in 2013, 14, and started explaining a bit more about Bitcoin and he was using it, you know, like for the darknet purposes and so on. And at the time, I think I was a little bit skeptical. I was a value investor, and I didn't really get the value in Bitcoin. And I think a few years later, when Ethereum arrived, I started looking a bit more into it and really understanding all the value that blockchain was bringing to us. And that's when I really got interested about the blockchain ecosystem. And then, you know, started investing. Many Ethereum at first, that's basically how I got in. I knew about it with Bitcoin, and I really got into it when Ethereum came in.
It's awesome. So tell me a bit about the genesis of XDeFi. I mean, for those who aren't aware, it's a really nice wallet experience. What was what drove you to want to create a wallet?
So basically, after I left TradFi, and you know, I used to work at Bloomberg and so on. I really wanted to work more in a startup environment. So that's what I did when I joined Gemfair 3-4 years ago. But still, at the time, you know, I really wanted to build something on my own. And that's not exactly what happens. Basically what happened is that at first we both, David and myself, started investing in Rune early. I invested early 2020. He invested after the crash in March. And at the time we're both in jobs that were nice, but you know, a little bit boring. And And we were looking at what we could do now that we had, you know, bags of Rune, like whether like it would be like, you know, running a node, creating some arbitrage bots, or anything else really that the ecosystem, the Torchon ecosystem could have needed. And after a few discussions, you know, with the core team at Torchain, we realized that that what could be really cool is to create like a cross-chain wallet, that it would be super useful to connect with any UI interfaces that are powered by Torchain. And that's kind of how it all started, you know. We had the opportunity to create a POC after discussing with them, and they said, look, if we see that like you guys know what you're doing, we'll incubate you. Incubate you and fund you and so on. So we did a POC. They really liked it. They incubated us, and then that's how it all started. And it was back in July last year, but we really started in August. So it's actually like the anniversary of XDeFi this month. It's been 12 months now. So yeah, since we started.
It's awesome. So what was the genesis though of the Thorchain team wanting to wanting to incubate a cross chain wallet? What was the sell for them?
So we didn't really offer anything. Like the way it worked is that at first it was called AsgardX Chrome extension, and at some point the Torchain ecosystem would need that type of infrastructure basically to have a wallet that can be multi-chain and connect to different interfaces that are obviously like leveraging the Torchain protocol. So really, what we were allowing is a UI interface that's that can basically connect users as a vehicle, kind of to a destination that would be basically the other UI interfaces that are powered by Torchain.
And just for context for everyone, like how do people custody and move around cross-chain assets today? I mean, I know a lot of people use MetaMask and they, you know, they change the network or they use bridges. But could you kind of dive into, you know, why XDeFi is really necessary for the cross-chain experience?
Yeah, for sure. So, okay. So the way I see it is that I don't think MetaMask was created first to support layer ones, other layer ones than Ethereum mainnets. And it was not necessarily created to support like sidechains and other EVM-based networks. So today, really, the way that a user is going to be able to bridge between Ethereum mainnet and another EVM-based network using MetaMask is basically using third-party interfaces, which requires like a lot of different clicks that are not making the UX really elegant. And you know, I think what we're trying to do with XDeFi is the following. At the time we created XDeFi, the multi-chain thesis like was there, but it wasn't validated yet. Then came a Binance Smart Chain, which attracted a lot of volume and attention. Then came like XDAI, like we've seen Polygon, now we've seen Luna and Solana and so on. I think today, if you want to be able to interact with all these different ecosystems, you not only need to have several wallets, you also need to use like different interfaces and bridges to be able to convert an asset to another asset quite efficiently. And if you're looking at what's happening right now with DeFi users, they are heavily like hunting yields across the board. And you can see easily people that are jumping from the Solana ecosystem to Luna, to Terra, to Ethereum mainnet, to AVAX now, and so on. So the point of XDeFi being a multi-chain wallet and a multi-chain wallet is to basically give the opportunity to people to have all the assets not only like stored in the same place, but also being able to access any dApps built on any ecosystem really quickly and bridge the assets easily. So how would that work? Well, basically, you would have like cross-chain swaps that are powered by Torchain that allow you to basically seamlessly swap between layer one assets. And then you will have like bridges that will be an integration of Hop protocol, for instance, or connects that will allow you to connect different EVM-based networks together. And of course, intra-Ethereum swaps with a DEX aggregator like Paraswap or 1inch and other type of bridges. So basically, effectively, what you have is a way to reproduce kind of like the experience that you have within a centralized exchange, but in a decentralized fashion. And giving a way for DeFi users to ape as seamlessly as they can between different like protocols and ecosystem, like in a seamless manner, basically.
No, that's really helpful. And I don't mean to harp on MetaMask. It's just helpful for people that have used it, that have one, and the comparisons it make a lot of sense to help visualize it. But you know, why hasn't MetaMask given more of a push or more of an emphasis to being cross-chain? Right? I mean, like, They're granted to, you know, for their success, they're a huge wallet. They have a great user base, but
it always obviously seems like an Ethereum native wallet. I mean, obviously, you know, technically you could use it for any chain. I mean, I've been using it for Avalanche recently with their bridge. It's super simple, but why haven't they, you know, made more of a push to be cross-chain?
Yeah, that's a billion-dollar question. I'm really not sure. I mean, obviously, like consensus is really close to Ethereum, so I don't know if something has, you know, happened at that level. I have absolutely no clue. That's the honest answer. And otherwise than that, I guess that, you know, we created the wallet from the ground up to be agnostic and to be multi-chain. We didn't start by one chain and then little by little added other chains. We basically we already had like Ethereum, Bitcoin, and Binance supported from the get-go. And everything that was developed, like both from a technical point of view and from a UX perspective, was thought and built in an agnostic way. I think it's not that easy to do so. But the exact answer why MetaMask didn't do it before, I don't know. I don't know if it's political. I don't know if it's technical, like limitation for them. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can use other chains with MetaMask. It just doesn't feel like native to MetaMask's design, though, right? I always feel like I'm like, you know, kind of band-aiding together switching networks and kind of moving. It doesn't feel like they have that native kind of cross-chain built in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, when I was saying cross-chain, I meant like layer one. Obviously, you can use EVM based networks or compatible. I think it wasn't built for it, and I think like the main limitation here is that you have to switch from a network to another from the top, and you cannot have, you know, an aggregated view of two different balances, which is a little bit complicated. I think there are still plenty of things that can be improved in XDeFi as well, like, you know, to be able to especially like visualize and display the assets across the different networks they're on. So for instance, you have your Ethereum, to be able to have like potentially like an aggregated balance of your Ethereum in total, and then like a breakdown by EVM based networks, as in like you have that much Ethereum on XDAI, that much on Polygon, that much on mainnet, and so on. So I still think there are a lot of things to do at that level, but I think MetaMask was really like focusing on mainnet at first, and the fact that you don't have like an abstraction of the concept of chain from the get go in the first display that you have of the home screen makes it a little bit more complicated to cater for users that are leveraging the opportunities on different EVM based chains.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I'm sharing my screen right now I'm on the XDeFi wallet site. One of the things you brought up was that you don't have to change networks to use different assets on XDeFi. I think that's really important because, frankly, it's just annoying switching networks and MetaMask and going between them. Could you kind of dive into that? And then, you know, I'll scroll through this, but if you could go into like the design decisions you guys made, that would be awesome because there's a lot of differences with how you use XDeFi and how it looks and the experience. And that's really important from the consumer's perspective.
For sure. So basically, when we first started, we were compartmenting the chain. We had tabs. I don't know if you remember, but we had tabs. And we were really thinking about it like from an engineering perspective. You know, each type of actions that the users are going to take are going to be chain specific, which is not entirely the case anymore. So we decided really to abstract the concept of chains from the get-go and basically like have for the users a display which is only showing like their assets. So then indeed, you're going to have like a small badge that gives you like the layer one or the layer two on which like the asset is. But ultimately, you have all the assets in the same place, irrespectively of which chain they're on. I think this is really important if we want to give like a multi-chain experience to the new joiners, which is a little bit similar to what they already know. And what I mean by that is the experience that they generally going to have like on Coinbase or Binance or Kraken. Because most of the joiners today, like of the DeFi space, it's not people. People are not just like jumping into DeFi, downloading a decentralized wallet for the first time they ever think about or touch crypto. They're gonna first like be onboarded on Coinbase or Binance. So this is really like what we were trying to achieve, like from a UX point of view, to have all your assets, respectively of the native chains, like displayed in the same space, in the same piece of real estate.
And Emil, that's a pretty big design decision and it's a pretty big difference for XDeFi. How does that work from the user's perspective? Like, so I open up my wallet, I can see that I own, say, BNB and Rune and Ethereum and Bitcoin all from one place. I don't have to change networks. But if I want to receive BNB or Rune, obviously I have to send it to a different address. How do you abstract that away? Because everyone's kind of used to just seeing their address at the top of the wallet, but within your wallet, there's obviously a different address per asset. How do people access that and interact with it?
So you have a different way you can do it. So you do have, if you look at the design that you have in front of you, you can click on plus, and there you're going to have like a screen, which is giving you a toggle with an account number and then a QR code. And maybe I can share my screen now. That would be easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stop sharing mine.
Let me have a lot of stuff open. Give me just one sec.
No, take your time. I mean, it's a pretty big design decision too, because, you know, I don't think most people are just used to switching networks, and it's quite cumbersome. So it's cool to be able to see your assets on different chains all in one place. It feels, to your point, kind of like you're on Coinbase, but in your browser.
I think you need to enable me for share my screen. No, but I agree with you. I think, look, that's the thing. Like, being multi-chain comes with the inconvenience of you don't have just like one address that you can display at the top, like in MetaMask, because like if you create an account, you're going to have potentially this account associated with different chains. There are different things that we are actually implementing now. Okay, perfect. Thanks, Tom. So you're basically going to have like a toggle to receive, whereby you can select the different accounts that you want to select, and then any of the chain that you want to select, and you're gonna have the address and the QR code. I can also like send you some screenshots after the call, and you can probably like add them to a post.
No, this is awesome. I mean, is there another wallet out there that lets you manage all of your assets on different chains from one view?
I think Trust Wallet does something similar. I don't think they support as many chains as us, but it's not an extension. In the extension space, probably like one or two. Maybe Coin98.
No, it's awesome. And you'd said earlier that you started out with tabs. What was the emphasis for switching over to this kind of aggregated view?
Well, I mean, you know, at first we were really trying to focus on like making it work, right? This is a wallet. So what we're trying to achieve is like signing transactions. That's the main thing. So UX, UI, we're not trying to go like big on UX, UI up front. And we basically went with what was the easiest at first. And then, you know, like we decided to take this UX decision. I think it was we were discussing with Luke Saunders like a couple of times around that. And that came from a few discussions we had actually with Luke.
Now, Luke on our team, he's our CTO. For those who don't know, he's got an incredible way of kind of looking at things and building. Yeah. And Emil, going back a little bit, I mean, you said it's really hard to build a cross-chain wallet. I mean, how hard is it for you to say add new supported chains to XDeFi? You know, what do you support today as well? Be helpful to kind of dive in there.
Sure. So we have Ethereum mainnets. We're supporting Binance Smart Chain, Binance Chain, Polygon, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, Tor Chain. And we are finishing the integration of Terra as we speak, which is going to be released like really, really soon.
That's incredible. And it's probably a dumb question, but when you support a chain like Terra, obviously, does that grant people the full support to use all the DeFi apps, NFTs on that network? Or how exactly, are there any lines drawn on what full functionality looks like and full support?
No, it's going to be full support. So when we first integrated Binance Smart Chain, we didn't like were supporting like NFTs. So then, like we also added the NFTs on that. But yeah, it comes with everything. The point is for us to release like the Terra integration with Ledger support for Terra NFTs. It's not the case yet on Terra, but yeah, it's like this is a full support. You're gonna be able to do like everything that you want to do when it comes to interacting with dApps built on the Terra ecosystem, which is like amazing, to be honest. Big fan of what they're doing.
No, I totally agree. I mean, it's you're live at a really good time, right? Because we're, you know, last summer we had DeFi summer on ETH, you know, Yearn hit the scene, everyone was having fun. But I mean, now people are doing yield farming on Avalanche, on Solana, on new chains, and, you know, soon Terra through you guys. So it's kind of like you launched at a good time. I mean, I'd love to ask if that was planned or not, but it is kind of good timing.
I think it's exactly the same than, you know, when you guys are investing. You know, we had not an investment thesis. I mean, like whatever we call it, like a thesis, and that was a multi-chain thesis, right? And it played out. Luckily for us, or not luckily, like I don't know if it's luck or if it's anything else. But I guess what's cool is that there is no Ethereum killer. All right, Ethereum is absolutely amazing. Like I absolutely love Ethereum, right? But it doesn't mean that like you won't have other blockchain ecosystems on the side that are going to have different value propositions and are also going to be attractive and gather volume. And we can clearly see it like with the different layer one that are popping off. As we said earlier, we know like Solana and Terra, which are getting absolutely huge, but also with the different EVM-based networks, and there will be more in the future and so on. So really, the beauty of like having this thesis playing out is that indeed there is a need to have like just one wallet to be able to interact with everything. Because it's really like cumbersome to have like in your brother like 4 or 5 wallets at the same time, and at the same time having to switch from an interface to another to bridge everything together. So I guess we're lucky enough to have that. I think NFTs are also important for us. We're supporting NFTs like across the board on Polygon, BSC, mainnet, and etc. And that's definitely something which is going to be super useful for the users. So. Yeah, I can't wait really like to provide this like publicly.
So Emil, a lot of times when we're looking at new plays on the venture side, you know, we always look at large incumbents and we say, you know, hey, there's a giant in the room. They can always move into your space. They can add you as a feature. You know, this isn't a full product. And you know, we go back and forth a lot on that because, you know, it is hard. There's always some incumbent you're going up against, right? I mean, for you, you took a pretty big bet on two things. I mean, one, a multi-chain future being a reality, and then two, MetaMask not being able to effectively serve that market. You know, at the time, I mean, making bets that big, you know, with your life is hard. How did you get comfortable with that? Or are you still uncomfortable a little bit? I just would love to kind of dig into the thought space there because they are pretty big bets for you.
Absolutely. So the first one, I think there was a third one. I think the main one was like the revenue model. Because at the time when we build XDeFi, and actually when you invest in XDeFi, and that's why you're taking the risk, in my opinion as well, outside of like just like the competitive landscape, is how do we make money? Because like, you know, ultimately it has always been like strictly complicated for wallets to monetize themselves. So obviously afterwards we've seen that with swaps, like this is crazy profitable, and like wallets really do have a new revenue model that can be adapted to them and can generate a lot of revenue. Which is awesome. That also has played out. That also has been validated, right? Since we created it, which in my opinion was the biggest risk. When it comes to competition, I do believe we're incredibly early, and I don't see like, you know, like a space such as ours as, you know, having like one huge wallet and no one else. If you look at, that's the thing. If you look at the wallet industry, right, you have like different interfaces. Obviously you have mobile apps and it's absolutely saturated, but it doesn't mean that you don't have like plenty of huge players. If you look at Trust Wallet, you have Rainbow, you have Argent, you have Math Wallet, you have Exodus. I mean, you have all of these guys, they're all huge and they all can live together, and you have MetaMask as well, kind of. So in the extension market, you don't have many people either. And I you know, you have MetaMask, which is probably going to retain like a lot of users because this is a legacy, actor of the space. But you're going to have like plenty of other people that actually need a tool which is different and which is like XDeFi. And you're probably going to have like other tools that are going to be created like in the next coming years or even months that are going to provide something else that the users are going to want to use. So I do think we're incredibly early, and like there is space for all the competitors as long as you have a good product. As long as you're close to your community, you listen to it, and you develop features based on suggestion feedback, and you listen to them, So I'm not too worried about it. So yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But I believe if you have a great product, like
it's great color, and I love, you know, talking to people about like the risks they've taken and going up against incumbents, the difference between features and products. It's always an interesting kind of question, and I appreciate your answer. And you know, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, I've been spending a lot of time on OpenSea and Super Rare and Rarible and Universe and, you know, take your pick here. And obviously it's kind of like the same, you know, a somewhat similar debate if you distill it, right? Like, you know, at the end of the day, they're all marketplaces. So they're, you know, they're differentiating on, you know, their approach and their curation and their UI and the experience for users. And it really is creative at the end of the day. And, you know, that makes it hard to have one winner when people are going to different sites for different experiences. I think it might be very similar for the wallet experience. How do you feel on, you know, the creative side of XDeFi, like, you know, the graphics and the marketing and the story and the user journey and experience? Because that could be very different from other wallets, and that could lead people to use you for different reasons if they just enjoy the experience.
I think this is really important. So I love that you're referring to marketplaces, because I've looked at that like a lot, and that's interesting what people are coming up with. I do believe that today XDeFi, the position of XDeFi is really for DeFi users, and probably like in the first place, like for people that are a bit more advanced. Okay, and this is who we're targeting, and little by little, like, we want to onboard more people that are coming from a more mainstream side of the cryptosphere, and hopefully provide them with a tool that can the DeFi at its fullest, really. What is important for us is to make sure that we have a UI that is as clean as it gets. And this is something that we're heavily working on now that we've made it work with 8-9 chains plus once we have Terra. For the marketing side of things and the communication side of things, we haven't done any marketing so far. That's not something that we've done at all. We haven't spent any funds in marketing. That's been pretty organic, obviously, like helped by the TorChain community that we're really close to. I think when you are like a multi-chain wallet, you have the opportunity to actually cater for the needs of different blockchain communities. And obviously, as you go and as you add more chains, you're basically having like these communities that are coming and kind of feeding yours, which is obviously really helpful. Otherwise, there are like a few things that are going to come like pretty soon that I cannot really talk about, but which are going to help lots. To have people hear about XDeFi and obviously, you know, guerrilla marketing. We're working on NFTs for like probably 9 months now. We have something been coming on NFTs that we haven't released yet, which is hopefully going to attract a lot of attention and a few other PR moves that are going to happen soon. But I cannot say too much about it. I'd love to, but it's a bit early.
No, it's exciting. I mean, the NFT visualization side is important. I mean, I just kind of go to OpenSea and I change wallets and view. There's a lot of gallery type plays out there. Could you expand any more there? Or if I don't want to push you, if you can't, but it would be interesting to kind of hear through, you know, what you're thinking there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I love NFTs. I think they are, you know, they're unique. You can verify ownership easily, like they're liquid. You can trade them easily. It's a set of features that allows for a lot of different user cases. And obviously as wallets, I believe that we are bound to become like the Instagram Pinterest of the NFT industry. Wallets in general, I don't mean like XDeFi in particular, although like we would love to be like the reference wallet for NFT lovers. And this is definitely like something we're working really hard on. XDeFi, a lot of things. So there is a new display. I mean, first of all, you can already display your NFTs, audio, video, like in XDeFi, across three different chains, right? Which you cannot in MetaMask right now. So we already have like a lot of community NFT projects reaching out to us to provide alternatives to the community members, and a lot of NFT guys that are coming because they are just using it instead of MetaMask because they can display nicely the NFTs. That I think that's the first step. Okay, displaying NFTs. Then it's how can you ease the way you're managing your NFTs from your wallet directly without having to connect to OpenSea. And I think this is really important, right? Because this is making the UX much more seamless. So we are in the next month and a half going to release like a set of features that are going to be key for that, including and some are going to happen afterwards, but that's going to be like transferring your NFTs easily, sell them in one click, you know, for instance, integrating with NFT20, borrowing against the NFT from within the wallet, fractionalizing them. Well, that's going to be like later down the road, but that's going to happen as well. And obviously being able to basically like what we're creating as well is a link that you're going to be able to use to display all your NFTs in one place in a web view, which is basically going to be an expanded view of the extension that you're going to be able to share with your friends, to show off your NFTs, to show your collections quite easily without having to go to do this via OpenSea. So a fair amount of nice things that we can do. I mean, we can also like have like a in-wallet minter and so on. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can do and think of. But ultimately, this is what we're aiming, to provide as many management features as we can to NFT lovers from within the wallet or in the next an expanded view of the wallet within the web page.
I just expected you to say like you could view your NFTs in your wallet. I didn't expect all of those kind of features on the roadmap. It's exciting. It's definitely a lot to build, though.
That's a lot to build. That's a lot to build, and that's why like we don't want to add too many features at the same time. But there is a few, and we're already looking into it, and it's doable.
So Emil, there's, you know, we talk about this a lot internally, like there's such a big difference between DeFi and NFTs. Like, you know, DeFi is, you know, complex and you got to spend a lot of time to understand it, and only, you know, handful of people actually get it. Well, I mean, more than a handful, but I think you know where I'm going with that. NFTs are super easy. Everyone around the world gets it. I mean,
yeah,
you just have this collection. It's easy to use. You're kind of on both ends of the spectrum, right? Like you're enabling cross-chain DeFi, which is very complex and you know, really cool. And then on the other side, you're enabling like NFTs for the world and all its inhabitants, which is like very interesting. You're targeting two different markets. On the NFT side, just to cue in, like how do you think about getting people to use XDeFi on a global scale? Like, is it a mobile app? Is it, you know, just sharing a link on your Twitter or Facebook for people to view your, say, NFT gallery? Like, how do you think about like getting people all around the world to use XDeFi on the NFT side?
I mean, obviously, the mobile app is a no-brainer. Even if it's only a display that you have in your mobile app, that will also already be a lot. Yeah, there are plenty of different ways. I think what I've mentioned like before is kind of gonna like be a big thing. A big thing for users. So they join XDeFi to use for the NFT. Just the display. I mean, if you're just looking at the display right now, like, I mean, a lot of communities on Discord that are, you know, like starting to move to XDeFi, or actually that want to move to XDeFi, but we see in private, so it's not open publicly. So they're waiting for the public launch, just because of the display. The day you can transfer and sell your NFT in one click from the wallet, I think naturally we're gonna, you know, continue connecting with all the different projects that we're in touch with to make sure that, you know, like they have the best alternative possible in terms of wallet when it comes to displaying the NFTs. And then, you know, it's all about like as you said, you know, like being able to show off your collection. And I think this is really important. So if you make something that is easy for people to share and to review via social media, I guess you can have a big win. And then there are a few more things, but I can't reveal everything either. But yeah, there are a few more things that will come as well.
No, it's interesting to think about it. It's definitely a new world and it's exciting. And Emil, just totally switching gears here. I mean, one of the most important things to me and I think most people in crypto is security, right? I mean, I know I'm always annoying you on, you know, new security features and the status of audits and stuff like that. And sorry if I annoy you there, but would love to dig into, you know, how do you approach security for XDeFi wallet from the ground up? And then my other question there is, since you're adding new chains and new functionality, this gets very complex. There's a lot of upkeep. There's a lot of maintenance, I'm assuming. How do you manage the complexity of and the security of such a complex project as you add more chains and support?
So, you know, audits, we've worked with different auditors. I think that's very important to regularly do some audits. That's one of the things. And the other thing is, making sure that your users are not like, we're still an extension, right? And an extension by nature is not the most secure interface. And this is something that is important to be honest about when you're creating a project like that, because if you want to protect your users, you need to make sure that they are developing like the correct OPSEC. I would never recommend to a user to transfer 50, 100K in the extension without using a ledger or a treasure. That just wouldn't be smart. So what we can do at this level is making sure that we have we are providing the best possible support for hardware wallets like Ledger and Treasure. So right now we are supporting already Ethereum, Torchain with Ledger. We almost finished with Bitcoin. It's on standby right now. And it will come like in the months to come. So that's the first thing, making sure that we are supporting like hardware wallets, so Ledger, then Treasure. Treasure is going to happen thereafter. Ultimately, there are plenty of different things that you can have. You can also auto-disconnect apps from the wallet upon request of the users, like something that they switch on in the settings. You can have like a token allowance revoking like a token approval, token allowance, sorry, from within the wallet. You can have limits. And most importantly, I think so there is something that like we're working on that we've done a lot of research on and that we that we're working on is the non-custodial 2FA, which ultimately like would solve a lot of the inherent security issues associated with basically running an extension. But that's
2FA in an extension is incredible. Would that be like Google Auth for transactions, or how are you thinking about that? That would save, trust me, that would save people from a lot of scams and a lot of hacks, I think.
In a similar way, basically the keys will be split, and on part will be on the a bit will be on the mobile, and the other on the extension. And like virtually, it's almost impossible to compromise both devices simultaneously. So that would be super powerful. It's not that easy to implement, obviously, but once you pull this off, like you have like a huge advantage because. You know, ultimately, it means that you don't really need like hardware wallet anymore. And when you are in a multi-chain environment, like having like several like hardware wallets is complicated, since you need to connect every time like a different app. And on your Ledger, you're probably only going to be able to have Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a third app. So that will solve a lot from a UX perspective as well, not just from a security standpoint.
Why can't you use Google Auth today? Why can't wallets integrate that?
Well, because this is custodial. That wouldn't be really in the spirit of what we're doing.
Flies in the face of it. No, that's a good point. I mean, the other side of this is just like user education, right? Like I saw this week on crypto Twitter, a lot of people just losing their NFTs, like they're sharing their screen, you know, dropping their seed phrase for whatever reason. And I know it sounds crazy to you and I, but you know, for new people to the space, they might just try to solve a problem or get a transaction through or something. Like, how do you think through that side of things when people use your wallet?
There are a lot of things. First of all, some of the dudes that like lost all their NFTs, they're actually quite experienced dudes. Like they've been in the space for a long time and they've just been, manipulated on Discord by impersonators of the OpenSea teams. And I feel so much for them. That sucks. Like it's really like really, really sucks. Look, as a wallet provider, like the best we can do is to educate, as you said, and warn users. So exactly what happened is that you have this way of syncing your MetaMask mobile app and the extension from within the extension, which is basically revealing a QR code after you entered a password. I think what's really important here is to warn users as much as you can before you even display the QR code and making sure that like they're not sharing the screen, for instance, with a third party while they are displaying this QR code, because obviously once you've shared it, like you just, it's already done. So it's about how you frame the different warning sentences, the wording of around security that you're going to make a difference. And then it's like, for instance, we moved from using Telegram to Discord because Telegram was, like I was literally, there was Tikoid Pico Giro like impersonating me like all the time trying to contact users. So obviously that's an issue. And we moved to Discord and we moved like towards like a ticket system, which basically we will not only like we will never DM you, but if you DM us directly, for instance, if there is an impersonator in the chat that says like, okay, DM me, and you DM him, well, you should never like talk to them, even if you DM them, because like everything I'm making super clear, like is only going to happen via the help desk and the ticket system. So it's also at the support level that you need to be super careful, because this is where the impersonators come into play. And you have countless Telegram, MetaMask channels, etc. So it's important to make sure that like you make it really clear for users that like the support is centralized in one place and no one else than like a set of support people and from a given place like can help you to troubleshoot any type of issues you may have.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, I do feel bad for you, but honestly, I did not know it was the sophisticated people getting scammed. It's kind of crazy because, I mean, if you're able to scam the sophisticated people, the normal retail people are kind of just like really screwed.
I mean, 2FA would help a lot, but you know, sometimes you're emotional, like you missed a trade and like you might be like sophisticated and like you're just speaking like in a Discord chat and you have the founder or alleged founder that talk to you and like, and you're like, oh, he's taking care of me. Like, that's nice. He's helping me. Like, I'm in distress. And you kind of forget about OPSEC. And that happens to anyone. That can happen to anyone. It could happen to you or me, like, in a given situation. So I think it's like people need to be careful. And at the same time, like us, any projects in the space, not just wallets, we need to make sure that we do everything we can to protect the users as well. That's key.
No, I'm totally with you. And Emil, just tell us a bit more about the team itself. Like how large is the XDeFi team today? What are you hiring for? What are you looking for? What's next?
That's crazy. Like, it's like, the first time I talked to you, Tom, I think we had three in the team. Like, it was David and me.
It was over, I think it was like a year ago when we first spoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we invested around then. Yeah.
That's wrong now, actually. So yeah, we were three, now we're 22. Like that crazy growth. Many devs, obviously we have a lot of developers, and now we're starting to develop like a business team. You know, we have a marketing lead, someone who joined like for partnerships, and a content writer. We have like someone who is really well versed into DeFi that is going to come to create some content as well for our users, some sort of XDeFi academy that is going to basically be super useful for new joiners to explain them how you can leverage at best like the different features within the wallet to you know like unlock all the opportunities that you have like across the different protocols. So we are going to invest a lot in education. I think it's important. I think it also makes your project and your product sticky once the users they understand like the full value behind each features. And when you apply it to precise user case, as in, I don't know, like using AAV or Compound to deposit and borrow, using like Cream or like Curve or, you know, like a specific user case. And this is what we're designing basically like right now, like a learning mechanism, which is going to be integrated to the wallets. Like a lot of things are going to come soon.
Oh, that's awesome. The education could be also a path for a lot of onboarding for you. I mean, if you're able to explain how crypto works to the masses, I mean, here's your wallet at the end of the day.
That's the thing, right? Like you have a lot of DeFi protocols like betting on education, and that's awesome and that's great. And like I really promote it. Like the fact that we're being a wallet, if you look at like the learning pyramid, when a user arrive like and download the decentralized wallet, you're basically the best place to take the user at the very beginning of his learning curve. So you can really like seize the opportunity to learn with the to help the user to learn from the get-go about OPSEC, as we said, but also about everything else, and explain them like little by little until like, okay, first you try to understand everything that is within the wallet, and then you give some proper like user case with app and connect them with and so on. So by being a wallet provider, I think we are at the moment we are acquiring users, we are really well placed to educate them at best from the get go.
No, I totally agree. And Emil, you know, one of the things I always loved about your approach to building was, you know, during our update calls the last year, you brought so much energy. Like you dove right in, you know, hey Tom, here's the updates. This is what's new. Like it was always so exciting. Like, and that's just a random key point I just loved about your approach. But you know, for new builders in the space, what advice would you give them on creating a project, building a community, taking those big risks that you made or you took? Because I mean, you bet on a cross-chain future and against incumbents. Like, what advice would you give them to new founders starting a project in crypto?
Look, build a team that you can go far with. Hire people that have hearts, not just that have a good attitude, not just like, you know, skills and because they're known in the industry and so on. Like hire people that are good, but also have like the right attitude. I think that's absolutely key. Your team is what is going to make you able to implement an ID. At the end of the day, I don't really believe like in IDs solely. I think IDs are important, but implementation is what makes a difference. Everyone has IDs at the end of the day. It's much more how you implement it. And I also say find the right person to back you up from the early days. If you're looking for investment, don't just go for names. Again, go for people that are going to be here with you on the long term, that are going to advise you in the best way they can. I think that's absolutely key. There is a lot of, you know, that's the truth, right? We're still in the founder market. Let's be honest. There is a lot of AUMs across the different VCs that we have in the industry. A lot of people that have made a lot of money and that want to invest in the industry. If you need some funds, if you have a good idea and a POC that makes sense with a couple or three team members that have some skills and the right mentality, you're gonna find funds. Find the funds at from the right place. That's what I would say. Like, be picky because you can. So be picky.
No, I totally agree. I mean, money's cheap, and it's funny. Like, if you have the right vision and the right product, and you can attract the right team, the money's kind of like an afterthought. Like, a lot of projects, I think, approach, hey, we want to raise X to build out a team, and it's hard. But if you get the right team, get the right vision, the money is just so easy to raise. So I definitely agree with your approach. And Emil, just to close out, what could people look forward to? Where can they download XDeFi? What do you want to leave people with?
So you can go on xdefi.io. I didn't mention, I just wanted to say, like, community is super important. Like, we've opened, you know, like an alpha, like 2 months after we started, to community members via a private community platform. And that's how we built the project, really, like by having them like included and providing us a lot of feedback and bug reports. Just wanted to mention it because I didn't, and I think it's really important. You guys can find us like on xdefi.io. We also have a Twitter and a Discord. Please join us on Discord. Feel free to ask any questions. We all answering like in the team, like pretty often. If it's not straight away, it will be like, we have a UIDs section. Come and tell us like what you would like to have in the wallets. We're more than happy to consider it, if that makes sense. We're gonna release the product publicly like in a month ish. Okay, so everyone is gonna be able to use the wallets really soon. Again, feel free to reach out to the team anytime, because like we're super open.
Awesome. Emil, thanks so much for coming on, man. We're amped to be investors in you guys with all the journey. Thanks again for joining.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Before we go, we'd like to thank our sponsors for making this episode possible.
There are several projects building inter-blockchain communication protocols, but there's one that's currently built. Cosmos.network is on a mission to link every blockchain. Well-known projects like Terra, Band, Kava, and Secret use Cosmos and the Cosmos Hub to connect to every other chain in their network. The Cosmos Hub is completed and launched, and you could visit cosmos.network today to check it out. The Cosmos Hub brings us that much closer to Web 3.0, and we thank the Cosmos community for sponsoring the Delphi podcast.
With a proven track record of delivering products safely, the Kava platform is DeFi's most trusted, scalable, and secure institutional-grade cross-chain engine. In addition to the protocols Kava and Hard, the Kava platform is launching Swap Protocol, a cross-chain AMM liquidity hub bridging DeFi, blockchains, and financial services to swap the world's largest assets and maximize yields across your entire portfolio. Try for yourself or learn more today by visiting kava.io. Celo is an open platform for mobile-first DeFi with a vision of bringing decentralized financial tools and services to anyone with a mobile phone. Eco-friendly, Ethereum-compatible, and governed by Celo holders, Celo's proof-of-stake consensus mechanism and automatic daily carbon offsets make Celo the world's first carbon-negative blockchain, offsetting over 2,200 tons of carbon to date. To learn more about how to lend, earn, and stake with Celo's growing family of platform-native stablecoins, visit Celo.org today.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.